When we come back at the top of the hour, we are going to go right to Damascus, Syria, where a war is going on and where the people who are calling in are fighting their dictator. As you know, I have long supported the Free Syrian Army or the people of Syria. Look, I don't know all of them. I don't admit to knowing all of them, but I know enough of them to know that when you have a country that's being massacred by an awful dictator, when innocent people are being tortured, you have to stand on the right side of history. And I stand with these guys. Don't miss an exciting guest coming up from live from the war zone Damascus, Syria, at the top of the hour. Welcome back to the show. This is Mark Levine reporting from Washington. I am glad to be with you. I'm particularly glad to introduce our next guest. We are breaking news tonight on the show. I did a Google search an hour ago, and there were no reports of fighting in Damascus. Now, according to Reuters, they are making reports. We broke the story here about the battles in Damascus, and we knew about them because of our guest who's coming up on the show. His name is Abu Yassam. He does not speak English, but we do have translators on the line. So pardon us for going through the translation into Arabic, but it's very important that you get the news directly. This is unfiltered. This is a call that is not sanctioned by the Syrian government. This is coming in from a fighter with the Free Syrian Army. Abu Yassam, welcome. Welcome to the show.
Ahlan Abu Yassam.
I am back.
So what did he say?
Yes, he said hi.
Hi, okay, terrific. So please tell us, we'll translate sentence by sentence, but please tell us what is going on in Damascus as we speak. It's the middle of the night. It's, I think, 4 in the morning. What is going on?
أبو يزن إلنا شو صاير هلأ بدنا نترجم جملة جملة على مهلك لحتى ما نخربت المستمعين تفضل
نعم الآن هناك تطوير لحي ركن الدين بالكامل وهو الآن خالي من عصابات أسد.
There are some areas in Damascus that the Free Syrian Army trying to clean and sweep, have control over any area inside Damascus.
It's been reported in the media that you've managed to set on fire the police headquarters in Damascus. Is that true?
التلفزيون عم يقول انه انتو شعلتوا محطة شرطة ولعتوها نار حرقتوها مزبوط هالشي؟
انهم كانوا يقولون بقصف علينا من خارج وهناك طبعا من حاول دخول عصابة كانت بتقصف في مخطط الشرطة وقت قام الجيش الحرب الرد.
It's a breaking up, but he's saying, I understood, that the Syrian regime is shelling from outside the city of Damascus some areas where the Free Syrian Army members are located. And the building you're referring to, Mark, it is one of the intelligence well-known. It's under the Free Syrian Army control right now.
Okay, so do you think that the Free Syrian Army will be able to hold the portions of Damascus that you're holding, and do you think that the Assad regime will fall in a matter of days or weeks?
أخي أبو يزن بتعتقد إنه الجيش السوري الحر لح يحافظ على مركزه بدمشق ويقدر يتغلب خلي بشار الأسد هل؟
نعم بشار الأسد وعصابته الآن فقط السيطرة على العاصمة دمشق بالكامل وهناك مجموعات كبيرة تأتي من جميع المحافظات مساند من كتائب وضباط من الجيش الحر وتأتي مساند الثوار في داخل العاصمة.
Well, he said most of the Free Syrian armies that have been fighting all over scattered areas all over Syria, they're all heading towards Damascus, and the regime has lost many of the areas inside Damascus. But they are trying to reorganize themselves so they can continue the battle. But he assures you that most of the soldiers, the Free Syrian Army, either inside Damascus or heading to Damascus.
We have heard and seen some pictures of the atrocities in Syria of men, women, and children, civilians that have been massacred by the Assad regime. I realize there is a press blackout. That's why I'm speaking with him now, so that we can get this information. My question for him is, what atrocities are being committed recently, this week, in Damascus? What is the Syrian army doing?
أبو يزن، شو آخر المجازر اللي ارتكبها النظام وكيف عم يحاول الجيش الحر يتصدى له؟
المجازر التي ارتكبها النظام، بلغ عدد الشهداء فقط في العاصمة دمشق 97 شهيد، وهناك الآن هدوء عام لعم أحياء دمشق وريفة، وهناك تخوف أيضا كبير لدى الناس.
There's a massacre that's committed in one of the areas south of Damascus, within the boundaries of Damascus. 97 civilians are killed, and he said at this moment it's so quiet in Damascus, you don't hear any gunfires or anything.
Now that's interesting. Of course, it's the middle of the night. I think it's a little after 4 in the morning in Damascus. Did the fighting go into the night? And if so, why did it suddenly stop? Why are people not fighting overnight?
في هلا قتال ابو يزن عم تسمعوا صوت رصاص في قتال بس ما كان في قتال شو سبب الهدوء
القتال كان اشتباكات حصلت ووقفت اكثر من نصف ساعه وقفت لا اسمع لصوت طلقه واحده من الرصاص لا من الجيش الحر ولا من عصابات الاسد ولكن هناك امر عصابات الاسد لا يستطيعون الدخول على الارض ولو بدبابات لا يستطيعون الدخول على الارض بل يقومون بالقصف من بعيد وبدبابات التي تركز حوالين العاصمه دمشق احياء دمشق
يعني هلا في قتال مستمر بالليل ولا وقف؟
هلا حاليا الضرب واقف وهناك تحركات مريبه لديهم لا نعرف ماذا يفعلون
He said it's very quiet right now. The fighting has calmed down, and once they were chilling outside the city a lot, but right now it's kind of quiet and nothing's going on.
It seems to me that much of the battle will be won by persuading the Syrian army, not the leaders, not of the Assad regime, but the basic people lower down in the army, the lower level officials and the ordinary low-level members of the army, that it doesn't make sense to fight for this dictator, that they should fight instead for the free Syrian people. Are they having any success in persuading members of the army to defect and to not serve Assad, but instead to serve the Syrian people?
Okay, Abu Yazan, في اتصالات مع ضباط من رتب متوسطة لحتى ينشقوا عن النظام يلي هو مستاهل نقاتل من أجله.
نعم هناك اتصالات مع جميع الضباط الموجود الآن وكيف نعمل كل هذا لولا مساعدتهم؟
Yeah, he said there is all kind of communication with mid-level officers trying to defend them and tell them exactly what's going on because they've been some kind of black on those officers, soldiers. They are not allowed to have cell phone. They are not allowed to watch TV. They are completely isolated. They just follow orders, but the Free Syrian Army trying to contact those officers and convince them to defect because Bashar Assad is over. His inner circle is collapsed.
I want to know to what extent this is a religious war. Many people are concerned that because the Assad regime comes from a minority, the Alawi in Syria, that even if you manage to get rid of Assad, this will break down into a civil war between Sunni and Shia and the Druze and Christian and everyone else. Is the Free Syrian Army composed of people of all religions in Syria?
عم يسألك الجيش السوري الحر بيتشكل من كافة الطوائف لأنه في تخوف من حرب طائفية بعد سقوط النظام فشو رأيك أبو يزن؟
نحن لسنا طائفيين الجيش الحر مشكل من الطائفة الكردية وهناك ضباط مسيحيين وهناك ضباط علويين والنظام يحاول على 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 جعل هذه على جعلها طائفية، ولكن نحن لسنا طائفيين.
He said it's not a religious war, and the Free Syrian Army has Kurdish officers and soldiers and Christian and some Alawi, very minority, of course. But whoever is trying to make sectarian his regime by brainwashing Alawi from his tribe, convincing them that this is your fight for survival. But of course, the Free Syrian Army isn't, and he's calling the Alawi to defect and join the Syrian army, because this is the only way to get Aaron Bishop.
I assume Abu Yassam is aware of the United Nations vote today in New York, where the Americans, the United States, tried very hard, and the Europeans, to be very tough on Assad, to support force against Assad, but the resolution was vetoed by China and by Russia. Is he aware of that resolution, and does he want to comment on it?
اليوم مجلس الامن صوت وكان في فيتو روسي صيني برايك انت الناس عم تعول على مجلس الامن شو رايك انت
اخي الكريم نحن منذ بدايه الثوره السوريه لا نعول على احد نحن الثوار في الداخل نحن من يقرر مصيرنا ومن يحكمنا ونحن من الذي سنسقط بشار الاسد ونظامه ولا نعول لا على فيتو سوريا ولا روسي
هي سين ذات They gave up on the United Nations and Security Council a long time ago, and they're not very concerned about all those solutions because it's been useless. And starting from many resolutions since the start of the Syrian revolt, and it won't make any difference today's veto, Chinese or Chinese veto.
Please tell him I agree with him that the United Nations resolutions are useless, that there is no hope for China or Russia to ever abandon Assad, and that I am very much working in my country to persuade the United States to help the Free Syrian Army. How specifically, please tell him that, and then ask him the question, how specifically the United States of America could help him in overthrowing the Assad regime and returning Syria to, well, to its people.
بيقول لك هو بوافق الرأي انه مجلس الامن يعني ما اي طعمه وقراراته كلها صارت سخيفه انه الصين وروسيا ما راح يتنازلوا عن فيتو تبعهم بس انت برايك في الشعب الامريكي بيقدر يساعد و
يا هو نقدر الشعوب نحن نقدر شعار الشعوب العالمية كلها نحن مشاكلنا مع الحكومات وليست مع الشعوب
Well, he said he appreciates your opinion and he appreciates the sympathy that is coming from the American people and he is sure that the Americans are supporting the Syrians in the revolt and he really appreciates giving him the time to be on the radio live now.
Tell him it's my honor and privilege to have him here, and I know he risks his life. I need to explain something to him, though. He needs to understand that while I do think the majority of Americans are supportive, in fact, a recent poll showed the majority of Americans are supportive, there's still a strong minority of Americans, maybe 40, maybe 45%, that are suspicious of the Free Syrian Army. He needs to understand there are Americans that are concerned that if the Free Syrian Army were to prevail and were to depose Assad, there are concerns that the government might support Al-Qaeda, might be anti-Israel, might be anti-American, might be an aggressive regime that doesn't just protect the Syrian people, but went and attacked other countries. Can he reassure Americans that the Free Syrian Army wants freedom for Syria, but is not out to attack the United States or Israel or to support Al-Qaeda?
أبو يزن بيقول لك التخوف من الأمريكان في حفظ من الأمريكان 40-45% متخوفين بأنه الجيش السوري الحر ممكن يكون انضم له من جماعة القاعدة وممكن يكونوا هن معادين لدولة إسرائيل وأمريكا فأنت كيف بتقدر تأكد له بأنه الجيش السوري الحر خالي من أي عناصر القاعدة أو الغرباء اللي انضموا له وكيف شو موقفه من إسرائيل وأمريكا؟
المواقف من الإسرائيلي والأمريكان. الإسرائيلي هي منذ عدة قرون هي معادية للشعب الإسلامي وللشعب العربي أيضا، لأنها دولة محتلة لأراضينا العربية فقط، نريد استرجاع أراضينا ونعمل نقوم بعمل السلام معها، بحل السلام معها. أما اتجاهنا نحو الحكومة الأمريكية، لقد سئمنا من كلام الحكومة، أنا أقصد الحكومة وليس الشعب، لقد سئمنا من تصريحات كلينتون وهي تقول لن نسمح ولن نرضى بفعل ذلك، والأسد سيتنحى منذ عدة شهور وهي تتكلم ذلك، ولكن الشعب، نحن نقدر مشاعر الشعب الأمريكي على موقفه معنا. ومن أجل من أجل تنظيم القاعدة، لا يوجد تنظيم قاعدة على الأرض أبدا، العصابات الأسد وبشار الأسد الذي قام بزرع هذه الفكرة لدى الأوروبيين ولدى الغرب أيضا بأن هناك تنظيم القاعدة. نحن ليس لدينا تنظيم القاعدة، نحن لا نسمح بوجود تنظيم القاعدة داخل وطننا سوريا.
Well, Abu Yazan is assuring there is no any foreign fighters and no Al-Qaeda members, because most of the Free Syrian Army is consisted of defected soldiers and very few civilians who had experience in military. They carried a weapon and they decided to help the Free Syrian Army because that was the only way to try to defeat the atrocity they've been committing all over Syria. And he is assuring you that the Free Syrian Army will be friend of the American people, and the Israeli conflict that has been going on for 40 years and the Syrian government that has been convincing the Syrians and the world that they are our enemy. He assures you that there is a conflict over a land that has been occupied in the 60s. And these kind of conflicts can be resolved in a diplomatic way, but they are not an enemy to either Israel or America. And the Free Syrian Army consisted of 100% Syrian fighters, and most of them are defected soldiers.
Okay, please tell him I'm very glad to hear that. You can tell him that during the break, because we have to take a break. We'll be right back with my exclusive interview from Damascus, Syria, right after this. Welcome back to the show. This is Mark Levine. A really exciting night in Damascus is on fire, and we reported it first right here, right on this network. When I Googled it, when I reported it, I looked on Google, there was no report of it. Now Reuters is reporting it. There is a war going on in Damascus, and it's eerily quiet. And I have on the line from Damascus a fighter with the Free Syrian Army. His name is Abu Yassam. He is a very brave man. He's been telling us about the fighting going on in Damascus, about the Syrian army shelling, about the massacre of 97 people in the south, and also telling us that he has no disagreements with the United States. There is no Al-Qaeda there, that we can trust them, that while they do disagree with Israel about the Golan Heights, they believe it can be settled peacefully, and that his goal is to defeat Assad and help the Syrian people. He has no designs on the United States or Israel. It's a very important interview, and in 5 minutes, we're going to get right back to Damascus and find out what he witnessed that you're going to hear nowhere else. Stay tuned. Welcome back to the show. This is Mark Levine with a scoop. My show in Washington is called The Inside Scoop, and you have an inside scoop tonight. When we began reporting the story, it was not in the mainstream media. Now it's showing up in Google searches. We're reporting on the battle for Damascus in the heart of the capital city of Syria. There is a fight. The dictator Bashar Assad lost about half of his most important defense officials in Damascus, his inner circle, from a bomb that just a couple days ago, and now the fighting is taking to the streets. And we have on the line from Syria, and it's an illegal phone call, folks. He's not allowed to call, but we managed to get through. I'm very proud of our staff for doing that. The inside scoop, we've got Abu Yassam. He is a fighter with the Free Syrian Army. And my question for you, first of all, thank you again, Mr. Abu Yassam, for coming on the show. And my question for you is, what did you witness tonight? What did you see with your eyes? What did you do tonight?
شكرا لك ابو يزن انك انت طلعت على البرنامج. احكي لنا شو شفت الليله، شو صار في احداث انت شاهدتها.
انا ساتكلم لك عن حي الميدان الذي انا في حي الميدان الان، شاهدت في حي الميدان والاصوات واسمع اصوات الانفجارات في احياء دمشق كلها.
Well, he said he is in Midan area outside the heart of Damascus, and he heard a lot of explosions all over Damascus. And, you know, there's a kind of a scare people are staying home because anybody could be shot if they go out.
This war, this fight against the Assad regime, for many, many months occurred outside of Damascus. It began in Daraa, it occurred in Homs and Hama and in many other cities, but the capital was one of the last places to actually see fighting. Why was that, and why is there fighting in Damascus right now? How did you manage to get into the capital?
القتال كان عم يدور بالمحافظات داير دمشق. شو السبب هلا انتقل لدمشق وبهالوقت هذا؟
لأن لازم العملية كانت تكون قبل هذه المدة من عدة شهور، لكن لم يكن هناك السلاح الكافي لهذا، وقد قاموا بالتنظيم منذ 6 أشهر على هذه العملية في قلب العاصمة دمشق.
He said it should have been done earlier, but there wasn't enough soldiers and ammunition and enough intelligence to do it. But right now, with great and mass actions of soldiers and probably the weapons they've been gaining, the affected soldiers, they were able to organize for it and planning for it over 6 months. And he said it should have been done earlier, but they had no ability to.
I want to know if the weapons that they're using to fight the regime, are they mostly from internal, from Syrian sources, from defected army people, or are they mostly, we heard that some, that Saudi Arabia might be arming them, or maybe even the West. Where are they getting their arms from? If he wants to tell me, if he doesn't want to tell me, I respect that.
Sure. Abu Yazan, al-aslaha, ya hal tara kullayata, hiya min dakhil Syria wal في دول مثل السعودية عم تساعد تدخل أسلحة للجيش الحر.
لا أحد يساعدنا بتدخيل الأسلحة، إنما نقوم بتدخيلها تهريب. بالتهريب لأن لا هناك لا يوجد أي داعم. الذي يقوم بدعم بتدخيل الأسلحة هم السوريون فقط من أموالهم.
He said it's all from inside Syria and whatever coming from outside Syria. The Free Syrian Army is paying for it, and they're smuggling it inside Syria.
So they're paying for it. This isn't from Saudi Arabia or anything for free.
Well, they're paying for it themselves. He did not indicate Saudi Arabia.
What would he say if he were to see Bashar Assad right now, see him running in the street? What would he say to the dictator of Syria?
إذا شفتوا أخي أبو يزن لبشار الأسد هلا شو ممكن تقول له؟
أنا ما راح أقول له راح نعدمه مباشرة.
He said he won't be saying anything to him. He will be hanged right away.
He'll be hanged right away. I understand that. He deserves it. I have no doubt about that. I wonder though, what about lower level people in the regime, people who work for Assad? Maybe haven't committed some of these massacres. Will there be a way to make peace in Syria after Assad is gone?
في ناس اللي بتشتغل مع الحكومة نظام بشار يلي هن إيديهم ما تلطخت بالدم وهن كانوا مجبرين يعني ما عندهم حل آخر إنه يهربوا من الجيش. هل ترى الجيش السوري الحر والسوريين متسامحين بعد ما يسقط نظام بشار؟
نعم 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 متسامحين وأكبر دليل إلى الآن هناك انشقاقات ويستقبلها الجيش الحر ولولا ذلك لو كنا متسامحين لم يكن الجيش الحر يستقبل هذه الانشقاقات الآن.
He said they are going to forgive whoever defect and whoever his hands are not full of blood and who isn't involved in any of the massacre the atrocity and the defection that's happening this late nowadays, they are still welcome and are joining the Free Syrian Army as well.
I want to protect Abu Yassam's identity. I'm not even asking you whether that's his real name, and I don't want you to tell me because I want to protect him. We've had people come on this show that have been shot, and I want him to be protected. But to the extent that he is willing to tell me, and please let him know that he shouldn't feel obligated, I'd like to know a little bit about his own story. Was he with the Syrian army and he defected himself? How did he join this fight? And obviously, if he doesn't want to tell me to protect himself, I understand.
أخي أبو يزن، أنت إذا كنت مع الجيش وانشقيت، ممكن أن القصة كيف انشقيت وكيف الظروف اللي صارت لحتى صار الانشقاق؟ إذا ما بدك تقول له مشان سلامتك، هو بيتفهم هالشيء.
لا، أنا لم أكن مع الجيش، أنا مدني.
أيوة، أنت مو مع الجيش الحر يعني؟
لا، أنا ناشط إعلامي، ولكن إن استطاع الأمر أريد أن أحمل سلاحا لوجه العصابات الأسد.
He said he is not a depicted soldier. He is an activist, but he is in full contact with the Free Syrian Army on the ground.
I see. So now, has he been an activist for a long time? Again, if he doesn't want to tell me, he doesn't have to. But I'm trying to figure out whether he is someone who has been trying to fight the Assad regime for many years, or is he someone who is new to the fight because of the recent massacres over the last year?
هل أنت معارض من زمان للنظام ولا فقط من زبدة الأحداث؟
عندما دخلت في خدمة العلم وخدمة الوطن أصبحت معارض، لقد شاهدنا كيف هم هذه العصابة طائفية أيضا، لأنهم يقومون كل شخص من طائفتهم بجعلهم يرتاحون في خدمتهم الإجبارية، ونحن الذين يخدمون في أماكننا حتى إجازة لا نستطيع أخذها.
He said, as long as the service in Syria is mandatory, he served and he saw how they're treating soldiers that don't belong to the Assad tribe. And it was extremely discriminatory treatment. And since the broke of the revolution, he decided to be an activist. And he thought about carrying weapons, but he decided to stay as an activist, but you know, be on the ground with the revolutions.
There are rumors that President Bashar al-Assad has fled Damascus to his palace in Latakia on the coast, and that his wife has gone to Russia. Is he aware of these reports in the news, and does he know whether they are true or not?
تعرف عن أخبار هروب زوج بشار الأسد إلى روسيا وهروبه إلى قرطاحة على لاتقية؟ أخي أبو يزن، عم تسمعني؟
Did we lose him?
Seems like we lost.
All right, I'll tell you what. Let's take a commercial break. It's a good time to do so. I want to thank my translator very much in the break. Maybe you can get him back again. Of course, he's had a long night. It's 4 in the morning, and he may need some sleep. But if we can get him, Abu Yassam, back, let's get him. Otherwise, we'll talk when we come back about what we just heard. This is Mark Levine. We've had quite a scoop from Damascus tonight. We'll be right back after this. Okay. Welcome back to the show. We've been working very hard to get people from Damascus, and I thought we were going to get another guest, but it looks like we won't have her. This is Mark Levine. It's been a fascinating last 45 minutes. We have been getting live witnesses from Damascus, Syria. If you don't know, there is a war going on right now. There's been a war going on for a long time between the dictator of Syria, Bashar al-Assad, and his own people. He's been massacring thousands, arguably tens of thousands. We really don't know because Syria does not allow Western journalists in to report. In fact, a number of Western journalists have been killed by the regime precisely for doing what we are doing now. So that means that the people that you have heard, Abu Yassam, who is an activist who knows people in the Free Syrian Army, has been reporting on what they're doing. He is risking his life. He risked his life to come on this show and talk to us. I think he's gone now. You know, it's like I said, it's coming up on 5 a.m. I think it's 5. Get my hours right. Yes, coming up on 5 a.m. He's been fighting through the night. I'm sure he needs his rest, and hopefully he's safe. You know, when somebody drops off the line like that, the last time we had a guest from Syria drop off the line, we found out later on he'd been shot. He's alive. By the way, I want to be very clear about that. He hasn't been killed, but it's a very risky thing. And yet, in fact, you could criticize me for bringing them on the air, except that I want to be very clear. These people want to tell their story. They want to be on the air. They want the world to know what's going on. This is a regime, as I said, that keeps out reporters, and they very much want the world to know. Now, we broke a story right here on the show. We gave you an inside scoop. For those of you who aren't familiar with me, my name is Mark Levine. My show is called The Inside Scoop. In fact, I'll have more this Sunday. If you want to listen from noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Time, you just go to my website, Mark Levine Talk, MarkLevineTalk.com, MarkLevineTalk.com, and you'll be able to hear my Sunday show. We're going to bring in some more. This just happened. I want to be very clear. The fighting that happened in Damascus, we reported it before the New York Times did. I'm very proud of that. At the time I mentioned it, there was virtually no mention on the web. And then I'm seeing there's a whole bunch of articles about it. Apparently, the rebels have managed to destroy the main police station in Damascus that Assad was using. You may have heard there was a bombing that occurred just a couple of days ago where they took out most of Assad's inner circle. And there are rumors that Assad has actually left Damascus, the capital of Syria, for his coastal retreat in Latakia, which is a coastal city in Syria. That's been reported in the news. We don't know whether it's true. The point is that tonight you heard from people who were there on the scene hearing the explosions. You know, you can't get this on CNN, folks, because CNN isn't allowed in. You can only get it from the inside scoop. So I'm very glad to do that. Let me tell you what he said. If you missed the beginning of this interview, I want to tell you about Abu Yassam and the questions I asked him, because I asked him some very harsh questions, too. First, I asked him what the Assad regime has done recently. We've heard about massacres in the past. He said there's a new massacre in the south of Damascus. 97 people were killed, civilians were killed. He said the Free Syrian Army is now grouping all over Damascus. They were slow to get to the capital city. They didn't have the arms necessary. But now they do, and the vast majority of their arms come from inside Syria, come from defecting military, people who used to work for the Syrian army now are working for the Free Syrian Army. The army is collapsing from the inside. They are buying a little bit of their weapons, but no country is supplying them for free. They have to buy them, and most of them come from internal to Syria. He said that he was in the Syrian army, that like all Syrian people, he was drafted, and he said that the army is set up to favor members of the minority religious sect, the Alawi, the religious sect that Bashar al-Assad, the dictator, belongs to. Syria is a primarily a Sunni Islamic country, about 70, 80, probably 80% Sunni, but about 10% is a specific branch of Shia Islam. For those of you who don't know, the two main groups, and there are many offshoots, but the two main groups of Islam are the Sunni and the Shia. They separated about four generations after Muhammad. There was a dispute over who would succeed Muhammad, whether it would be his son-in-law Omar or not. Anyway, this whole dispute has really created two very different Islamic sects, the Shia and the Sunni. And just like Catholics and Protestants were each other's throats for hundreds of years in Europe, Sunnis and Shias have been fighting really ever since that split. And a country like Syria is interesting because it is a majority Sunni country, but the people who are running it are Shia. They are Alawi. They are of this minority sect. And what Abu Yassam said is when he was in the military in Syria, that he could see tremendous discrimination in favor of the Alawi, in favor of the Shiites, and against the Sunnis. And that caused a lot of resentment for a country that is 80% Sunni. He said that the Assad regime is trying to persuade the Alawis that they're in danger, that there's going to be a civil war. He's trying to scare them, that they have tried very hard to get people in the army to defect, but they're not allowed communication, and that they're sort of isolated, and so many of them just follow orders. But he said that there are some Alawi in the Free Syrian Army. It's a minority, to be sure, but because virtually the only people fighting for the regime are this Alawi sect, but there's some in the Free Syrian Army, lots of Sunni. He said they have a Kurdish general. The Kurds are another religious group, another ethnic people that are in Syria. And in past interviews, I've interviewed people that have said there are Druze and Christians fighting as well. Syria has a significant Christian minority. He made it clear that this was not a religious war, that even though Assad favored the Alawi, even though he gave this minority power, that they were not out to take revenge. He made it very clear that anyone that did not participate in the massacres, that there would be forgiveness, that there's still time today. he said, for people to defect and to join his side, that most of his military came from people that were defecting. I told him about the United Nations resolution. I asked him about that today, the one where Barack Obama was trying to extend the UN monitoring mission and try to have more sanctions against Syria, the one that Russia and China vetoed today. He said he doesn't care about United Nations resolutions. They've gone time and time again. They're completely ineffective. They don't do anything. They don't matter at all. And I agree with him. I don't think the United Nations resolutions do a thing. So I asked him what America could do, how America could help. I told him of my support for his cause and the support of most of the American people. But I told him that there are a number of Americans that are concerned. I said, to be very honest with you, there are a number of Americans that are concerned. They're concerned that Al-Qaeda might be in the Free Syrian Army. They're concerned that a new Syrian government might be anti-American or might attack Israel. And I asked him specifically about those three things. And here's what he said. He said, there's virtually no Al-Qaeda. There's virtually no Al-Qaeda. There's no support for Al-Qaeda. And there's very, very little Al-Qaeda in Syria. That's not to be a concern at all. He said they are not anti-American, that they appreciate what America has done, that they reached their hands out to the United States of America. And he said something very interesting on Israel. He said there is a dispute with Israel, which I appreciated actually him telling me that, because if he pretended that everything was fine with Israel, well, then I would think he was just blowing smoke, right? Just telling me what I wanted to hear. Obviously, he knew I don't support a war between Syria and Israel. He said there is a dispute in Israel based on land conquered in the 60s, and I knew what he meant. He's talking about the Golan Heights, which when Syria attacked Israel in 1967, Israel fought back and won these heights that are a border area between Syria and Israel, and Israel has occupied them since 1967 because they've been unable to get a peace treaty with Bashar al-Assad or his father, Hafez Assad. That's a little side point of history. But the heart of what he said is this. He said, even though Syria has disagreements with Israel, he believes they can be peacefully worked out, that this is something that's for diplomacy, that's not for a military. And so I was very pleased to hear that. He made it very clear that his designs were on helping Syria and not on fighting Israel or fighting the United States. So this was a scoop. This was a man who is fighting all night long and yet was able to come here on the show and say what he thought. And I've got to say, it's really an honor and a privilege to be a radio host sometimes and to be on the forefront of history and to hear from people like Abu Yassam. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what will be. I like to think, though, that Abu Yassam made some promises to me tonight, and through him, perhaps the Free Syrian Army made some promises to the American people. Look, at the end of the day, we cannot support these vicious dictators. Luckily, Assad was not one supported by the United States. He's supported by Russia. We supported dictators like Mubarak of Egypt. At the end of the day, I think when the United States is on the side of free people everywhere fighting for freedom, that will come back in spades. The Libyan people have already thanked us for the help we gave them. At the very least, we should give the Syrian people moral support and wish them well and eventually having a free and peaceful Middle East. That's my time. This is Mark Levine. If you want to follow me on Twitter, just go to @MarkLevineTalk. You can also go to my website, marklevinetalk.com. And I'll be back right here next week.